From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. Today, Bjork plays DJ. But first, a bit of a backstory. There's a new series on the NPR News magazine, All Things Considered. The series is called You Must Hear This. The idea is to ask a much admired or well-known musician to recommend a song by another artist. So they ask Bjork to pick one. And that's where I got involved. Bjork didn't want to write an essay about her pick. She was just going to talk about it. Well, on the morning we were to talk to Bjork, we still didn't have a clue what she'd choose. And just about an hour before I was going to call a studio in Iceland, I received her choice. Well, actually, I got a list. Bjork made 6 selections instead of just one. Somewhere along the line, she thought since we had booked a half hour of studio time, she was going to need to fill a half hour, and so she picked enough songs to talk about. Well, we're not ones to miss a good opportunity, and so today, on All Songs Considered, Bjork plays DJ. We begin with the selection she wound up using for her All Things Considered piece, Syrian musician Omar Suleiman.
First time I heard Omar Suleiman was on YouTube. I'm very into YouTube, and yeah, a lot of his performances have been filmed. He's from Syria. Some people call what he plays Syrian techno. I guess it's kind of interesting for me that he has a small band and plays. I guess he plays all these kind of public events in Syria. He's been playing for a long time, I guess, like weddings and all these kind of things with sort of traditional instruments. But maybe what I felt was quite interesting is that, you know, he's got a couple of synths, people playing synths as well. And then he is an incredible MC and is is really good in hyping people up and getting them. He's a really enthusiastic performer on sort of the sonic side of things. The recordings are very often live and done really, I would call them lo-fi. So it's kind of like just like this high energy, crazy party. I've also heard interesting stories like that he has one man called Mahmoud Harbi, who is a longtime collaborator, and he writes poems for him. And when they are really warmed up and really going for it at a good dance party, Mahmoud Harbi stands next to him on stage and sort of chain smokes, and then he will whisper in his ear poetry that he's writing, at the moment on the, you know, on the top of his head, and Omar will sing it immediately in the microphone what he heard, and then he will run around the room and excite people all around the room, and he'll come up and Mahmoud Harbi will whisper some more stuff into his ear. So I thought that was quite an exciting way for a poet and MC to work together. So that was quite a spontaneous and seamless. يا ربي ترد الدنيا والوجبني عالشمالي يلا يا ربي ترد الدنيا جبني عالشمالي شفت الماني يقودونو مدري وين يودونو شفت الماني يقودونو مدري وين يودونو شفت الماني يقودونو مدري وين يودونو ولا لو لا يجوزونه ولا ما ياخذوا قيراني ولا لو لا يجوزونه ما ياخذوا قيراني
When you first heard it, maybe you can just expand on that idea of emotionally what the Sonics did for you.
A lot of world music, and then I'm not talking about Omar Suleiman, but other world music. It's recorded really, really well, and really you hear all the details, and it's kind of very serious atmosphere, you know. What I felt was really refreshing with the recordings of Omar Suleiman, the fact that it recorded what you probably normally call badly, just in a party somewhere, like someone standing with one microphone probably, mm-hmm. and then just putting it straight on the internet. I think it puts importance into that as vibrant thing today, alive. And it's the sound quality isn't that important sometimes, and it's all about the atmosphere and the excitement.
Tell me about Eyeless in Gaza.
I just felt they were a band in the 80s that came to Iceland, and they came here and played a really small gig for like 50 people.
And you were one of them?
I was one of them. And I thought they were kind of interesting and a bit underrated, especially in this 80s revival that was happening last 10 years. Yeah, I just liked the way they have electronics and they, especially this song.
Throw a Shadow.
Yeah, that I sent, which I really like, where they mix together. They actually play the electronics live and they have also percussion, acoustic percussion, and sing. So it's all done live and it's not on a grid, computer grid or anything. I think he's an incredible singer. I really like that he is really optimistic and really has a lot of heart. So yeah, I like him a lot.
When I saw you perform on this tour and then heard the Voltaic record, I thought the same thing about what you do. There is something about bringing acoustic instruments and electronic instruments together that bring an organic quality to the electronic stuff. Do you find that?
Yeah, I mean, I always like, I guess on all my records, I've kind of explored the relationship between electronics and acoustics, and I want them to get along, and I want to find different angles. Every project, there's a different touching point between the two. And I find that very exciting. I think there are stereotypes, you know, kind of like ideas about acoustic instrument, and then the same cliches, mm-hmm. you know, different cliches, but cliches just as much about electronic instruments. And I like to twist them a little bit and shake them up and find a new touching point on every album.
I like the idea of getting them to get along, which they often do, but but they often fight one another too, and it's a wonderful thing when it all winds up working. Can you think of times where those two things that clash didn't wind up working when you make your music?
No, not really. Good. We solve it, you know.
Yes, and great
attitude. I mean that's. I mean, what I try to do too is each tour has been different musical instruments for me. I've never had the same setup twice, so I've always tried to find a different way of solving that problem. And also, from song to song, there'll be really different angles, especially like with the percussion, for example. Like there'll be electronic percussion following the drummer, or there'll be a drummer following the electronic percussion, or the, you know, like there's like 20 different ways of doing it. Mm. There is, and I think I quite like to build up the dynamic in a concert to kind of have the minute something's safe and secure, to turn it upside down and keep people on their toes, you know.
Tell me if I say this name right, Olaf Arnalds?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And who is Olaf Arnalds?
Oh, she's an Icelandic singer. She's been playing here for many years with a lot of other bands, but this is the first time now. She put out an album last year or 2 years ago, maybe. And yeah, this song is from that. And yeah, I think she's got a really idiosyncratic sense of chords and chord structure, and a really interesting voice, sort of somewhere between a child and a really old woman. And yeah, she's just really got her own individuality, which I think is pretty rare in music. And I feel she's young, and I feel the best is still yet to come, you know.
That older voice and that younger voice reminds me a bit of someone here in the States, Joanna Newsom. Is it that way?
Yeah, maybe not far off, but I think it's different. I mean, what I like about Olaf, she's like totally her own sort of person. Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's Olaf's kind of Olaf, you know.
What song should we listen to from?
Oh, yeah, I picked that song called, let me see, Skjaldborg, Skjaldborg. It's a word usually used for cliffs in Iceland that are a specific shape. I mean, there's a lot of different words for the lava, like all the different shapes they make. Hmm. And this is kind of like a shield. Literally, it means city of shields. But it sort of means a certain specific type of cliff, which sort of looks like a fan of shields, if you see what I mean.
And does she write a lot about landscape, and are these metaphors? Because I won't understand it, so.
She writes a little about landscapes, but to be honest, she writes mostly, like her first album, it was mostly about people she loved. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really about, didn't really have narratives, or it was kind of more about feelings and emotions. So each song had a really, really different emotional location, which was really represented maybe with the chord structure and the mood. But maybe instrumental wise, they were quite similar, most of the songs. She plays all these kind of little kind of guitars, like ukuleles and little harps and all these kind of little instruments she finds around.
And she's an Icelandic musician, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's Ólafur Arnalds. Now, I may or may not know this person, but I certainly probably butcher the name, but is it Mayumi Miyata? And mm-hmm. And is she the woman who plays that unusual mouth organ that looks like a bunch of sticks shooting up in the air, and like almost like it looks like you're wearing a mask when you're playing it? Is that that person?
Yeah, good. You got it right.
All right.
Yeah, good for you.
I've heard it before. It's really magic stuff. It's totally otherworldly and wonderful.
Yeah, I guess it was both in China. I came originally from China and then it traveled to Japan. And I guess with the all these hundreds of years ago, it was one of the main instruments with the emperor. And I guess they sort of invented ambient music, I guess, because they would just play these long chords. And they have these different songs for these seasons. So they have four different songs that are like a collection of really, really long chords. So each piece is like 25 minutes roughly. And what they do is they have like three or four show players and they play them. One starts, if it's autumn, for example, he will start the playing and then the next person will start playing like 2 minutes later, the same thing. Mm. And then the third person will start playing like a minute later, the same thing. So it's like layers of the same piece. So it's sort of really sort of like a textural thing, which definitely doesn't have narrative or solos or anything and no rhythm. And it's kind of just like woven, like 3 to 4 times the same thing woven, you know, with different starting points in time. So I thought it was it's sort of really simple, but at the same time, kind of quite complex for... I guess at least in Europe, they weren't that into ambient all these years ago.
I love that description that it's early ambient music. And the instrument is the sho. I think it's S-H-O, and there may be a something over the letter O. I don't remember. There's something in my mind that I see it. It's not plain S-H-O, but I guess I can look that up. Describe, I did an awful job of describing the instrument, this mouth organ instrument that Miyumi Miyata plays. Could you do a better job than I did?
In the mouth organ?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they based it on the phoenix, so they built the pipes in a circle to represent the two wings of the phoenix. So they sort of, the length of the notes are not by like the order of them. It's actually by just to make the create the shape of wings.
Huh.
So it's actually quite confusing for someone who's playing it for the first time. And it's sort of the other way around to a flute, because if you blow it and don't put your finger in any hole, there's no sound. But the more holes you touch, the more noises you hear. And you can, if you manage to fill up all the holes with all your fingers, you got like 20 notes or something. And just like a discord, you know. So it's quite charming.
Do you have one? Do you own one?
A shirt? I do, actually. Yeah. I got the Chinese one, though.
Sounds beautiful. You've chosen Igor Stravinsky as on your list.
Yeah, I guess maybe it didn't get across in the emails, but I picked very specific songs. So I picked this song called I think it's called the
Birch Tree.
The Birch Tree. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm just really was really relieved for some strange coincidence, because I did go to music school for 10 years, but I didn't get to know these piece he wrote called Notches until after my Medulla album, which was probably quite lucky for me, because my Medulla album I made was only vocals and voices. Mm. And my friend of mine said, oh, have you heard this? And I was like, no, I never heard this. And it was quite lucky for me. Otherwise, I'd probably be too influenced by it. But I'm just really relieved. I kind of, somewhere in my heart, I always knew that music like that would exist, that basically he's sort of doing an opera, but it's done with Nordic voices. And I guess I was kind of a bit bored with the Southern Hemisphere operas, with that it's all about sort of drama and everything on 10 and a very specific vocal technique, which just I think has been a bit sort of bossy with the rest of us, telling us we're wrong and they're right, you know. And so, I mean, I have to say, maybe it's because I'm from the north, I'm not sure, but I do prefer like the northern way of technique with vocal techniques. It's kind of the drama is not as obvious, and there's definitely passion there, but it's dug way, way deeper down, and it's there, but it's kind of more, you know, cool somehow. So, I mean, this is just one piece from it, but probably the most sort of folk-like. He based it on Russian folk music, but I mean, if you listen to the whole piece, it's really lush, and maybe some of the first pieces of it are more maybe Stravinsky-like. This song I like a lot. It's probably more of the folk music-like.
Oh,
Do you see any common thread between, you know, the Miu Miu Miata, the Stravinsky vocal piece, the Omar Suleiman? Is there something that you can draw out of any of these that feel like there's something common that attracts you?
Did you say Omar Suleiman as well?
Yeah, well, and any of the list, and it could be of the music in general that you just love, the things that draw you to a piece of music. Is there something common that you find over and over that's a thread that gets you to fall in love with these things?
I guess what I'm conscious of is something quite diverse. I like music that's extreme. I like very beautiful music, and I like very brutal music. And I like music that's really private, and I like music that's extremely, you know, like festival on top of a hill with 10,000 people, you know. So, I mean, maybe in my brain, I'm thinking it's very, my taste is quite diverse, but I don't know, maybe it's something that other people could see, that my music taste is probably very consistent with very few personal themes. I'm not sure.
Contrasts,
yeah, maybe that's for someone else to say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking in some of the things I'm hearing from you, there's the contrast between public and private. Even when you talked about the idea of acoustic and electronic, there seems to be and maybe I'm making too much of this, I'm not sure, but there is the melding of these two things that maybe is where either chaos or sparks happen, where two things that maybe shouldn't necessarily think of together do come together, and maybe perhaps that's it. I don't know.
Yeah, I do like the in-between stuff, you know, when the sort of Kofi Annan aspect, you know, where you have to make peace, you know, and it's the middle stuff that bridge becomes the main player in the piece. I definitely have a attraction to something like that. Yeah.
So Porter Ricks is the only thing left on the list. Do you want to tell us about Porter Ricks?
Maybe since now I understand more what it's that you were after, maybe I skip that. Maybe I'd rather talk about Mikachu.
Oh, okay. That's fine. We love her.
Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been playing her a lot? Or?
We have, and we did a fun video. Maybe I can, if I had an address.
Oh, okay. Maybe I don't have to talk about her then. I wasn't sure.
No, actually, I mean, when we met her, she didn't do anything with her band. She just came with her sort of prepared little tiny toy guitar and did a song for us. We talked to her for a few minutes. We've played a song of hers on our show. I'd say, tell me what you like about Mikachu and pick a song of hers for us. I think that'd be lovely. If you're up for it.
I saw her in London, like playing like June a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I was really excited about her. I thought it was just that sort of do-it-yourself approach with all these little guitars, and just her attitude was really fresh, you know? Yeah, I mean, it's sort of interesting. She comes, you know, she finished that music school, quite important classical one, learned to be a composer. And then she sort of went ahead and made these kind of little punky rockabilly songs with which maybe sonically are that's maybe where she's at her most adventurous, you know, like with the textures and how she blends them all together. I think it's really, really fun. Yeah, I guess, I just like her spirit. She's fun, you know, and a bit of a prankster, really, isn't she?
Absolutely. And you have a song we that you particularly love of hers that we could go out on?
Yeah, I was quite lucky. I got her I got a CD before, like CDR from a friend of mine with no names on it. So let me just check. Yeah, it's called Golden Phone.
Yeah, we love Golden Phone. We've played Golden Phone on the show as well. So
okay.
Listen, yeah. Thank you for this. Thanks for your time today. And
okay.
And thank you now.
Bye.
And you can hear all the selections made by Björk on the All Songs Considered homepage, npr.org/allsongs. Also, until June the 30th, you can listen to our new record called Voltaic in its entirety at npr.org/firstlisten. For NPR Music, I'm Bob Boylan. It's All Songs Considered.